episode 117 of Anime and Us. I'm TJ.
I'm Sean.
And this is the review show that reviews anime from A to Z. Sort of.
Alright guys, so we spun the episode before last for Category X, and TJ picked...
X-Men.
There wasn't a whole lot of choices.
Because there was two choices, and the other one looked terrible.
Yeah. Next time, we're gonna be kicking ourselves in the ass. Watch us come off with, like, three or four real bad ones, and bam, we're stuck with that one.
That's what we were doing with this one, though. We were coming off of a few bad ones.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
that's
true. I needed the break.
So, we got X-Men 2011. That's when it came out. I think when we watched Blade, we went to the Blade-specific wiki. This is still that, but it says Marvel Anime, which kind of encompasses all of them. But it still shows the wiki stuff for X-Men. So, what I don't think I read before was that Marvel Anime, right, because there's a couple different ones. There's Iron Man, there's Wolverine, there's X-Men, and then there's Blade. And it says is a four anime superhero television series and two direct-to-video films produced and collaborated between Marvel Entertainment, our entertainment, and Japanese animation studio Madhouse. Madhouse is a good studio, which is something we'll talk about in a minute. It came out in 2011. It's essentially it. Whatever.
So I guess if there's two movies, maybe we'll tackle them after we tackle the other two animes eventually.
Yeah, definitely. Or at the very least, we can put them in the other category when we
Because we do need to add something in there instead of your name, because we just covered that last week.
Yeah, definitely. So I wanted to talk. It's pretty good. You should watch it first.
Well, it's as good as Blade was.
Yeah.
And it's probably...
Maybe a little better.
Well, yeah, maybe.
I kind of enjoyed this.
I mean, I kind of enjoyed Blade too, but I won't get. I'm probably going to give the same review as I gave Blade. But we'll get to it.
I don't remember our scores for anything, so I have no idea what I'm going to give. This is the same as that. But I wanted to just touch on for a moment about the art style. It's very unique, and I don't think Blade was quite unique as this. It's a weird combination of the X-Men comic and the Japanese. You know, making it a little more artsy. It's just, especially with characters that I know and like, it's weird, but I like it a lot.
I think that's your problem. I don't think you know of Blade as well as you do the X-Men. And I think you know the X-Men more from animated than you would from movies.
Well, I know both. I know the X-Men animated.
I'm saying,
but
you only know Blade from movies, cinematic.
Yes.
So the transition from animated cartoon to animated anime is a more easy transition for you to recognize and enjoy because you have that experience.
Yeah, I don't know. I really enjoyed the art in this. It just vibed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely X-Men in anime style. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. It's still just X-Men.
So the story, it's still X-Men. Like, the whole anime cliches and story, the way they do their stories didn't affect the story
in the only way this story is an anime in X-Men is because they add a Japanese girl and they go to Japan.
Yeah. And a Japanese boy.
Oh, yeah. And a Japanese boy. I'm sorry. And Professor X has a love interest and has a son, apparently, who dies.
Yeah, which is weird.
Because it can't be canon. None of it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So,
Overall, I enjoyed it, but there didn't seem to be much of a story progression, especially when it came to Phoenix.
Phoenix. They start off with Phoenix, the Phoenix Saga at the end of it, where Jean dies essentially.
Yes, and then the second episode was like Phoenix Rising, or what was the title? It was something like that.
Something like that.
It was something like Rebirth or something. So, like, we were anticipating.
Right.
Jean Grey coming back in some form.
Instead, it was just the X-Men reforming because they all took a break after Jean died.
Yeah, so it really wasn't... I really thought it was going to somehow end up being a story of her coming back in one way or another, and it really wasn't that. It was more of a story of Cyclops dealing with his grief.
Right, and then adding Emma Frost into it, which she actually ends up... And Cyclops and their relationship going from icy to warm, because they actually get married in the comics, Cyclops and Emma Frost, eventually. So I think they're covering parts. It seems like they took aspects of comics over the years, because the Phoenix Saga, I think, happened like 90s, but I don't think the Emma Frost stuff happened to like the 2000s.
Yeah, they just kind of mushed it together.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. But, I mean, it's 2011 this came out.
2011.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got 40 years of comics, you just pick and choose what you want, and you got like 12 episode anime.
You know, normally when you do that with stories, you kind of pick and choose and squish it together, it's bad, but this was pretty good.
No, I mean, it was fine, because it's, all you have to do is stick to the X-Men tropes and it's gonna be good, because It's X-Men.
You know? You say that, but some of the X-Men movies aren't that great.
But because they don't stick to the tropes that great.
Yeah.
They veer too far off. Like, you know, humans are always going to be racist against mutants, mm-hmm. which is here. And then there's some kind of mutant activity happening somewhere in the world where more evil mutants are trying to take over humanity and make everybody, makes mutants the superior race, which is happening here. They just don't have Magneto in it. And that's the other thing. There's no, what are the bad guys called in this?
The group? Manifest? U-Men.
The U-Men who... And then the other group of mutants, the four, because the human were the guys who were human using technology to take down the humans.
Yes.
And then there was the group that Emma.
The Circle. I think it was the Circle.
It wasn't the Circle, but it's something like that. It was something like that. And I'm not as familiar with
Inner Circle.
The Inner Circle. That's what it was called. I'm not as familiar with the X-Men comics to know how good or how prevalent those villains are, or even if they're in there. But they didn't use any of the well-known ones, like Juggernaut or Magneto or anything like that. So it's interesting that they chose to use different things in there, but it also lacks some grabbing you because you don't know who these characters are, too.
Yeah, and they also introduced them kind of late. So, like, Emma Frost is in it and everything, and she's from the Inner Circle, but she's separated herself. She's not with them anymore. But, like, the evil guy, you don't really... he's not really unveiled until, like, two or three episodes to the end.
And I learned in this that X-Men has a lot of psychics, and they are not good bad guys. They're kind of boring powers, psychic powers.
Yeah, it's essentially, illusion.
Yeah.
That's kind of
like, one
doing.
Point, Professor X is flying to try to get there, and he's trapped in, like, a vortex of mind stuff for, like, two episodes, and it's like, eh.
Yeah, it's if, eh.
You need a big bad character like Magneto or something like that.
Yeah, you definitely need someone in the forefront that's ready to trade blows. But it was also a bit refreshing because I've seen all the X-Men movies and I've seen some of the X-Men cartoons. It's kind of refreshing to get another bad guy that's not in all the other ones that I've seen.
Yeah, so like I said, it's a different take on everything. But like I said, it's easier to grab on. They could have told the same story with characters that we knew.
Yeah, well, that's my point, though, with characters that we knew, but, like, it's nice to get new characters.
Right.
I've seen those characters time and time again.
Yeah, I know, I understand that, but, you know, when you give me 7 or 8 new characters that I don't know. So, maybe throw one in there that I did, except for the 4 cameos at the end, because I think, like, Nightcrawler and...
Yeah.
And what was it? Who are the other ones? Nightcrawler, Deadpool, Colossus, and there was another one.
You made a cameo?
Yeah, in the last episode.
Well, I didn't notice that. Maybe I closed my eyes for a minute.
In the last episode, when Professor X is talking to the entire world.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
They showed Colossus, Deadpool, some guy.
He was like, mutants, we must come together and be good.
And they showed, I think it was like Nightcrawler and Deadpool together, and then Colossus and this other weird guy that I've never seen before.
What's kind of funny is like, the X-Men are like, saving the world in Japan, but like everyone else is just living their life.
Yeah.
And then Professor Xavier's in their head, we must come together. Dude, I'm busy.
Right. But I mean, I guess because his son is an alter in reality to the point that it's destroying everything.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess there's disasters happening around the world.
Oh, yeah, they sorta showed that.
But they didn't really go into detail. Yeah. Which is funny, because they could have focused a little more on things they should have, because they spun their wheels a lot in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Overall, it was enjoyable. I liked it.
So, you know.
It was terrible.
What was the premise, Sean?
Oh, yeah, we just kind of went into the story and this and that. Well, I mean, X-Men. If you know X-Men, you know X-Men.
Yeah, but what was the premise of this particular story?
At the very beginning, Phoenix dies. The X-Men get back together because there's a girl missing in Japan.
Yep.
And they're just investigating that.
That's pretty much, and Cerebro can't access the mutants in
Japan. That specific area of Japan is a dark zone.
So it's all mystery.
They go, they investigate a bunch of stuff, they find her and Emma Frost in like a Saiyan, you know, healing chamber, essentially. They're not healing, but I don't know, they're a cryogenic chamber, they're asleep or whatever.
Oh, I guess we should talk about who the X-Men are in this, because it's
an anime.
Yeah, but no, my point is, there's not all the X-Men team members that you would think of in it. It only has Cyclops, Wolverine,
Storm,
Storm, and Beast.
Oh, yeah, Beast.
Yeah. So, like, all the other ones, like, from the cartoons. And I think Rogue makes a slight cameo, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, but...
So, yeah, so they're investigating the missing girl. They find her and Emma Frost in the cryogenic sleeping chamber or whatever. And then they wake up, they explain some stuff, they don't answer some stuff, they still have questions for some stuff, but they take him back to America, to Professor's place, and they train him, and now they're the X-Men.
Now they're the X-Men, right. And it's, you know, Wolverine, Cyclops, buttheads, Beast is all scientific, Storm...
You know what, though? I never remembered Beast being so strong.
Yeah,
he's I know he is.
Yeah.
But, like, everything I remember him doing, like, in here, you actually see him fighting really good.
That's because...
You know, punching and knocking things out.
You probably remember the cartoon better than anything else, right? And Beast gets arrested in the first episode and is, like, gone for, like, 20 episodes or something like that. It doesn't even appear in the series for a while.
Hey, what to bring it back.
So, I mean... Yeah, I mean... Here's the thing. It's a decent X-Men cartoon, but it's really not an anime, which is what...
It isn't, no. The anime is really just the art style.
And it's just...
Everything else is just regular... So, most American cartoons are episodic, right?
Right.
This is a regular American cartoon that's not serialized, but only for 12 episodes.
And that's what it is. It's like you're watching a Saturday morning cartoon.
Yes.
Which is it's a good Saturday morning cartoon. Like, this is the same problem we had with Blade, though.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not bad.
It's just not it's really not good. What you watch.
It's average.
Yeah.
It's an average watch.
Maybe slightly above.
If you like the X-Men.
Yes, if you like the X-Men, if you're a fan.
If you're a fan of comic books and the X-Men, then yes.
Or superheroes.
But objectively, I think this is a 5.
I would say 6.
Yeah. I mean, we both
gave... It's something that's easy to watch, especially with it being on Netflix. Just click and play.
Yeah, we both gave Blade a 5, too, for the same reasons. And, like, that's what I mean. I had the same review as this as I have a Blade, except the story's different.
Uh-huh.
It's just, you know, it's a little bland at points, you know, but...
Yeah, it was a little slow and a little bland.
But, you know, because it's not really an anime.
The music was very, very typical for a Saturday morning cartoon X-Men. It's you expect that music with an X-Men cartoon.
Yes.
It wasn't bad, it was just, you expected it.
Right. No, exactly. So, it's a pretty average show.
Yeah, alright. Oh, we gotta rank it against the others.
Yeah, X.
Yeah, that was too slow, too drawn out, and just boring.
Wow, I'm surprised you remember that one. Xenosaga.
Didn't like that. Can't remember much of it.
I remember we did that episode twice, remember?
We had to record it twice, yeah.
And I remember Breast Cannons.
Oh, Christ.
And there was another one, but I'm going to have to look it up, because I do not remember what it was off the top of my head as I'm talking slowly to slowly, you know...
To draw it out, and I wasn't helping.
Yes.
Not that many for Y.
Triple X-holic.
Triple X, I don't like that. But I would go X-Men, Triple X-holic, X, and then Xenosaga. Because I have zero positive memories of Xenosaga. I've blocked it out of my mind.
I will say the opposite for Xenosaga and X, only because X was 26 excruciation episodes and Xenosaga was 12.
That's fair.
So that's why I'm going that way.
So put X-Men above...
Oh, yeah. I mean, Triple X, I didn't hate. We both thought it was okay.
Okay.
But it's just okay. And if I'm going to watch an okay thing, I'd rather watch something that I know.
Yeah.
So, like, and I'm a comic guy, and I love the superheroes, and so I would rather watch X-Men easily.
That's fair. Sorry for yawning so much. All right, we're spinning for Y for next episode.
You guys ready for this? I don't think we are.
Is that? Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yuri on Ice. You know what, though? This could be a good thing for the podcast.
Maybe.
You know why?
Why?
Because every time you get one of those boy love things, it does well.
That's fair. Oh, no.
That's 12 episodes. Comedy school, apparently school twice, and then Slice of Life. Well, yeah, Slice of Life.
But the...
I don't think it's the Slice of Life very normal.
No, the poster is just all boys.
All boys. Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it's one of those boy... I think it's an anime for teen girls.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I think it's for.
Isn't Yuri, like, gay love? And
I think typically, but, you know, their words have a lot of double and triple meanings. That's I don't fair. Think it means that in this.
Okay.
We could actually Google the translation. It's fine.
Fine. Whatever.
We'll have it ready for when we record the podcast, right, TJ?
No, we won't.
The show's story revolves around Yuri Katsuki. That's probably what it means right there.
Yeah, there you go. That's why it's called Yuri on Ice. It's a pun. Oh, God.
Who carried all of Japan's hopes on his shoulders to win at the Grand Prix finale ice skating competition, but suffering a crushing defeat. He returns home to Kyushu. Kyushu?
Kyoshi, right?
Kyu. Well, that's you, not Kyo. Oh. Kyushu.
Oh, Kyushu.
Whatever. And half feels like he wants to retire, and half feels like he wants to continue ice skating. With those mixed feelings swirling inside of him, he confides in himself inside his parents' house. Suddenly, the 5-time consecutive world champion ice skater Viktor Nikiforov, that's terrible, appears before him, and along with him is Yuri something. Another Yuri.
Viktor Nikiforov.
Well, there's two Yuris, in case you
didn't. I didn't know that. Nope, I didn't catch that.
Appears next to Viktor.
I'm hoping Yuri. This is a sports anime, and they just like the Yuri name, and it's not really...
I mean, it's figure skating, right?
Is it figure skating?
I mean, it doesn't look like it's hockey.
No, but, you know, it could be ice skating, like, races and ice stuff.
I guess we'll see, won't we? Anyway, a young Russian figure skater who is already defeating his seniors, Viktor and both Yuris, take up the challenge. All right. Whatever.
You just said figure skating, so it's figure skating.
Did I?
Yes. A young Russian figure skater.
Oh, yeah, it is figure skating. I should probably listen to myself. All right, guys. Next episode, Yuri on Ice.
Yay.